balanced relationship and friendship. And I admire your pastor. I've learned so much from him over the years. And I do love this church. I'm thankful. I meant that last night when I said the Apostle Paul looked at the church at Colossae and said, I joy at you. And though by no means am I the Apostle Paul, I fall very much short of who he is, or who he was rather, but I do joy at what the church is and who the church is and the people of this church, at least most of them. And I won't tell you which ones I don't, but I'm just teasing. But I really do enjoy being here very, very much. And I had a great meal. They took us to pizza, what's it called? Ranch? Pizza Ranch or something like that. And that's a carb city. That's what that place is, carb city. And that's not always good. And for me, with my blood sugar and this and that, there's a little secret behind all that. When I realized we were going there, normally we try to get water, but I amped up on mellow yellow. So what happens is when your body wants to start going down, the caffeine is like, no, sir, no, sir, up you go. So I'm feeling just dandy. I don't know what it'll be like in about 40 minutes from now. I might die, and you guys might rejoice. But either way, we had a great time with them, enjoyed having a conversation with them. I asked them things about parenting and what to do and what not to do. I said, you know, I realized a couple of them were disasters. And I tried to ask, you know, how to avoid all that. And but we really enjoy fellowship with them, and we enjoy this church very much. And can I say, Pastor, I mean this with all my heart. Thank you for the invitation to come. And I want to say to the church, and I meant to say this yesterday morning while everybody was here, but thank you for supporting us. I mentioned this at a church, about 5 weeks ago. We've never been part of a missions conference. We're not viewed by many as missionaries in that sense. And I mentioned this at the missions conference. It was awkward for us to be there. We've never been, treated like that in that sense. And I'm not saying they treat us nice or good or bad. I'm saying that just in that facet of we're just there not to minister. We're just there. And when I got up there, I said, you know, when you're supporting us, you think, well, I'm supporting their ministry. That's true, but more accurately, you're supporting the family. You're supporting the family unit as we serve the Lord together. And it is an unbelievable amount of help. There's about six churches that support us, and a lot of other missionaries, 45 or 50 or whatever it may be, and those really mean a lot, especially during the Christmas season and those times. Right now, this is our last meeting, and our next meeting, full week meeting, isn't for 2 months. I do have a couple single day meetings, but as far as a full week meeting, it's not for 2 months, and that's good. We planned that, by the way. We need to stop downtime. We've been on the road now for a long time, and I just want to say to the church, thank you for trusting us to serve the Lord and for your love for us. And it's a privilege to be here, and I'm just so thankful. I really enjoyed yesterday. I hope you did as well, but I'm praying for even more. I pray that I've told people many times before that the greatest preparation for a message is not a prepared preacher. It's a prepared heart that is hungry. Even starving people can get something out of the worst of foods. And so I pray that your heart is hungry and ready to hear from the Word of God. And I pray decisions and choices and what we made for Christ and our whole view of who He is will be enhanced and grow. And so we love you and we love being at this place. And so thank you so much. We're going to be in the book of Philippians chapter 4 tonight. And I try to preach fast. I am now up here at 30 after. That's not my doing. That's whoever that orchestrates all this up here. And so I will preach in less than 45 minutes. I will. If not, I want you to stand up and just walk out right now. Actually, Mrs. Springer, it'd be much more appropriate if you stood up and walked out. That's an inside joke, but it would be good to see her just get up. I'm done with this and walk out. That'd be powerful. All right. So Philippians chapter 4. Let's stand together. Philippians chapter 4. The only reason I might preach longer is if you don't pay attention or the Holy Spirit bids me. All right. So Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. Super well-known verse. Probably some of you guys can quote it. All of us should quote it. You should be able to memorize this verse and have this be one of those key resource verses of your life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. I'll read it once. Then I'd like for you to read it with me two times out loud. All right, ready, begin. Oh, I'm going to go by myself first. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All right, do it with me. Ready? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How many of you already have that memorized? How many already? All right, most of you. Great, let's do it one more time. Ready? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have two titles for the message tonight. Two titles. You can pick or choose whatever one you want. There was an election just recently, and the guy that ran for the last 8 years, he ran off of this slogan, "Yes, we can." And it's up to you to judge whether he did or not over the last 8 years. But that might be a title of the message, "Yes, we can." That's a really good option there. But the second option would be this, Philippians 4:13. the verse of champions. That's what we're going to be after tonight. Let's pray. Talk to the Lord about this tonight. Father, I thank you for each person that's come, the kids, the moms, dads, older folks. And Lord, I am so refreshed and thankful to hear of the people's testimonies of knowing Christ. How wonderful it is to be able to say, I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. My life could fall apart, but I have heaven to look forward to. And I thank you for that, God. But Lord, the salvation you gave us was more than just heaven. And it was more than just a rescuing from hell. It was the potential and the power to win in this Christian life. Now, I pray that you would lift up the heavy hearts, and I pray that tonight you would give strength to those that desire it. And I pray this would be a help in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I want to preach a message entitled, Yes, We Can, or the verse of champions. My favorite basketball player is the guy by the name of Steph Curry. He plays for the Golden State Warriors. And he actually is supposed to be a Christian. And you can look this up on the internet. I don't know if it's true or not. Some people say it's not. Some people say it is. But either way, it was rumored that right before he was becoming a superstar for the Golden State Warriors, he had a deal with Nike. And Nike had said, you know, we want to endorse you. We want to sponsor you. And he had said, that's fine, but on my tennis shoe, I'd like the verse, the address of the verse, Philippians 4:13. Nike said, no, we're not going to do that. So it's rumored that he canceled that contract, didn't re-sign, and then signed with Under Armour. And if you see his shoes today, you'll see Philippians 4:13. There was a guy that played football for Florida, and then now he went into the NFL for a little bit of time, and all the Christians rallied around the guy. Whether he could throw or not, that's to be debated, but we were all for the guy. His name was Timothy Tebow. I appreciate his testimony, but this idea, when he would wear Philippians 4:13 across his eyes right here, there was actually massive Google searches over what is Philippians 4:13. You see, Philippians 4:13 is associated with sports. It is. And it's one of those verses that's like, all right, team, we can do this. All right, players, we can do this. I can jump that. I can run fast. I can do it. It's a verse that is associated with sports. Now, can I help you with something? It is inaccurate to think in terms of this verse in the sense of like 3 seconds left of the clock. 3, 2, 1, Philippians 4:13, I can make that shot. That's really not the best interpretation of it. But can I tell you this? It is meant to be a verse about victory. And tonight's message is going to be about the victory that you have been given in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what this message is about. This message is about, that's why there's a subtitle, You Can Win. That's what the message is about. It's about that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did save us from a place called hell when we trusted Him. He did give us a place called heaven. And there's thousands of other blessings that God has given to us. But did you realize that one of the things that God has given to us is access to victory? Did you know the Christian life is supposed to be one that is victory, 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 surprised by defeat? Not like most of us live. Most of us live defeated, 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 surprised by victory. That's the typical Christian life. We lose, we lose, we lose, and every now and then we tell someone about Christ. Every now and then we actually pray. Every now and then we do what's right with our eyes or our minds or our actions. Every now and then we have a good spirit. But a lot of times we live defeated Christian lives. Did you know God designed the Christian life for you to win? That's what we're after tonight. Tonight's message, can I help you with something? Tonight's message is aimed at the person that wants to win. If you're in this room and you're saved and you don't desire to win in the Christian life and you've thrown the towel, this message might be a help to you, but probably not. This is a message that's meant for the person that says, by and large, I want to do what's right. By and large, I want to serve God, but I find myself failing in so many areas. How can I win? That's what I want to tell you tonight. How can I win in the Christian life? All right, so the message is the verse of champions, or yes, we can. We're going to look at three ideas tonight. Now, the main goal that we're after, and I often will say this in my messages, there's a premise, and the premise is the strength of God. That's what we're after. When we talk about athletics, whether you're playing golf or whether you're playing basketball or football or track and field, always it has to do with some type of strength, some type of training, some type of effort. And when it comes to the Christian life, God wants to teach us tonight, or remind us tonight, or rekindle in our hearts tonight, that there's a strength that we can tap into that will help us win in the Christian life. All right? That's the three goals. That's the goal tonight. I've got 3 points for you. Number one, we're going to talk about the possession of strength. All right? The possession of strength. Number two, we're going to talk about the purpose of strength. And number three, we're going to talk about the paradox of strength. All right? Got those three? Rattle your heads if you got those three. That's good. All right? Four of you do. That's good. All right. So number one, we're going to talk about tonight. Number one, we're going to talk about the possession of strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, takes place at the end of a book. This book was written by the guy named Apostle Paul. When we read this Bible verse, we read these chapters and these four chapters put together, you'll find over and over it's a book about joy and celebration and things are going well. Well, this is in direct contrast to the life that he's living. The experience is going on around him. You've heard this before. If not, you're going to hear it for the first time tonight. The Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote this book. Now, for those of us that heard that, you know what we do with that? I mean, I know he was in prison. Let your mind stop there for a second. By the way, when I yawned, about seven of you just yawned, all right? So I know it's been a long day today. Now, listen, Paul was in prison. So can I say it like this? Think about the worst days of your life. Think about when really bad news hit. Think about when failure was all around you. Think about when you were discouraged and overwhelmed and things rather should have made you. Think about the worst day of your life, and that's what he's living. Yet he wrote a book about victory. You know why? Because he wasn't living in his own strength. He was living in the strength of Christ. And so by the time we get to the chapter 4, he really is culminating with an amazing verse about victory. So number one, let me tell you this, the possession of strength. Let's take our Bibles now. Look at verse number 13. In verse number 13, here's what the Bible says. The first three words are, I can do. Say that with me. Ready? I can do. Sounds like positive motivational thinking, the power of positive thinking. That's what it sounds like, but I want you to see something. Notice in verse number 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See the word strength? You see that word strength? Did you know in the Greek, the word strength is there two times, not one time? You and I see it here in verse number 13, which strengtheneth me. That's one strength. That's a word strength. And what we're going to do is I'm going to show you how these two words are different. And you say, Chris, where's the first word strength? It's obvious. The Bible says in the first words, I can. Did you know the word can is correctly translated, by the way, as the word can? Well, it should have been the word strength. No, it means the word can, but don't you know this? The word can has to do with ability. You ever heard a mom get sarcastic with their kids? Hey, mom, can I go outside and play? I don't know. Can you? And you know, when they're 8 years old, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. They have no clue. You know what a mom is trying to teach? The mom's trying to teach that you're supposed to be asking permission. When you say the words, can I go outside, that accurately is talking about your ability. I don't know. Do you have two legs? I don't know. You know, that's how moms can be sometimes. At least my mom was sarcastic, and I know this. Those parents were sarcastic right there. So anyways, my point is this. When Paul here is saying, I can, Paul is asserting about a strength. Paul is recognizing a strength, but I want you to see something. The Bible here gives two words strength. The word I can is a strength, and then the second phrase, strengthen, is the word strength as well. But there's actually two nuances. The second word I'm going to talk about at the end of the message because it's super important, but the first word is a different type of strength, and I want you to hear this. The first word when he says I can do is a word that means an inherent strength. It's a strength that is already there. It's a strength that you don't have to bring into your life. It's a strength that you don't have to call upon. It's a strength, can I say it like this in point number one, that we already possess. You see, I want you to understand something, and I want to remind you. The Bible talks about how, in 1 Timothy, how Paul had to stir up something. So tonight's message, maybe for the first time, it'll be something that clicks like, wow, I never thought about that before. But perhaps for many of us, it's not necessarily you haven't thought about it, but we need to be reminded of it. And here's what I want to remind you of tonight. Did you know that when you got saved, you now, from the day you got saved to the day you get to heaven, you now possess already the strength of God. Now, how does that happen? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Romans in chapter 8 that if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. You know what that's saying? That's saying that when you become a child of God, you automatically get the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not His child. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you have to be His child. So here's what God is saying. Whether you're 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 years old, or whether you're 45, 50, or 75 years old, every person here, that whether they raised their hand tonight and gave testimony, or whether they just decided not to raise their hand, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So can I say this with the Apostle Paul? Yes, you can. When Paul was saying, I can't, Paul wasn't saying, oh, I have the ability. You know, I've been saved for 25 years now. I mean, I've trained, I've studied, I've learned a lot. I've been through a lot of experiences, so I can do this. No, Paul was referring to a strength, not of his own, but a strength that he possessed already. In a sense, it's inaccurate. In a sense, and I'm going to show you how the sense is wrong later, but in a sense, it's inaccurate to say, oh, God, give me your strength. I already have His strength. He lives inside of me. Hold your place here for 1 second and turn back to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. I really want to dive into this for just a moment, if you allow me to do so. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 19. What's going on in this passage, I got to tell you real quick, is Paul is praying that you and I, Paul is praying for you and me in this moment, in this church at Ephesus, that you and I would not just know it in our mind, but would be open to it in our heart. And don't you know there's a difference? Right? We heard about Jesus Christ for several years before it hit us in the heart, and then we actually trusted and experienced salvation. Did you know when it comes to the strength of God, everybody here, if I said, how many of you know that you have God's strength living inside of you? Everybody, right out of the head, yep, I know. But that's not what he's praying. He's not praying that your brain goes, oh, I've got the strength of God. Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, wow, nifty. I've got the strength of God. I haven't used the word nifty in a while. That sounded great. But we sometimes think to ourselves, oh, yeah, I got that. Great. That's not what he's after. He wants it to grip your heart like you never has before. Now, watch what the Bible says in verse number 19. He says in verse number 18, rather, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means opened up. That it would click, men. That it would click, ladies. That it would click, teenagers. What do you have? Here's what he says in verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? All right, so let me ask this question very straightforward. How many of you tonight believe? What I mean by that, how many of you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You are a believer. Raise your hand if you have done that. Praise the Lord. Almost every hand is up. That is, if not every hand. Now watch this. He says, I want you to understand what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Do you see how many times the word power is there? Mighty, power, working, power, exceeding greatness. And then in verse number 20 he says, which He wrought in Christ. Let me tell you something amazing. Did you know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is the same Holy Spirit that lived inside of the Apostle Paul? Did you know you have the exact same strength to live the Christian life, to obey the commands and the promptings of the Holy Spirit as the Apostle Paul did? Did you know that? You know, sometimes we think, and I even said that tonight, I'm no Apostle Paul, but sometimes we kind of disassociate. We think, well, I could never be like him. You're not supposed to be like him. You're supposed to be like Jesus Christ, but you are already like him, and that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Hey, kids, can I tell you something? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and the great power of God lives inside of you. Can I blow your mind? Can I do that for a second? Watch what he says. Verse number 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Let me help you with something. Did you know you have the same Holy Spirit and power that the Apostle Paul does? But can I help you further? Do you know you have the same power that Jesus Christ had? That's stunning. I certainly don't live like it all the time, but I have it. You see, because I have God living inside of me, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you and me. Now, what does that tell me? Look at verse number 20. Far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. You know what that's telling us? There is nothing that is stronger than who lives inside of you. No sin, no temptation, no difficulty, no trial, no situation, no circumstance is greater in strength than the strength that already lives inside of us. Can I help you something? Can I remind you again, Mom? Can I remind you again, Dad? Can I remind you again, child of God? If you're saved, you have strength already living inside of you. I'm going to tell you a dumb illustration. Some preachers don't confess that it's going to be dumb. They let you wait till the end of the illustration and you realize, that was dumb. But I'm just going to let you know it was dumb in advance. I'm an honest preacher. Unlike the other guys you have in here, I'm honest. All right, so this is a dumb illustration, but it's true, and you can invalidate it. By the way, you always know if an illustration is true by watching a wife while the preacher's preaching. The wife always is like, just watch. My wife is going to validate this. So for the first, you guys know my testimony. We traveled with Brother Prettyman for 2.5 years, and then we went on our own. And about year number 3, I think it was, we were driving, and we lived by forever. For the last 10 years, we lived by truck and trailer. We had our fifth wheel with us, and we had our truck, and the fifth wheel was our house. I mean, there's washer and dryer in there, there's a shower in there, there's a closet in there. That was our home, that's our house, and that's how we kind of lived. I'll never forget that I was driving on the road, and I was talking on the phone with a friend of mine named Ray. And we were talking about this and that and just shooting the breeze or what have you. And I'm driving the truck and trailer and we're just going along. And all of a sudden my wife begins to talk to me. And my wife is trying to say something to me and I can't do two things at once. I'm male and I'm trying to yell, I'm trying to answer what she wants. And he's saying, what's going on? And finally, he's like, what are you doing, Chris? I was like, well, my wife, she's mouthing to me that she's got to go to the bathroom. And so I'm trying to find an exit right now. And I'm sorry I missed the exit. I'm trying to do two things and it's not going well. And finally, after probably 10 minutes of this going on, because exits were coming up, my friend, Ray, he said to me, Chris, what are you doing? I said, I'm driving right now, and I'm trying. He goes, no, what are you literally doing? Are you in your truck? Yeah. Are you in your trailer? I said, yeah. He said, you're looking for a bathroom? I said, yeah. He goes, why don't you use the toilet in your fifth wheel? For 3 years, I didn't realize that I could be using the toilet in the fifth wheel. Nod your head that was true. Now, this is a terrible illustration because I'm not trying to weave a lot of different application beyond simply this. All along, I already possessed the ability to use the restroom. Wherever I went, I carried a toilet with me. So it's already possessed, all right? So snicker, snicker, laugh, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Teresa, stop. That's the truth, okay? That's the truth. So here's the reality. I know that's silly, and I don't want you to draw more innuendo than what I'm trying to do here, but my point is this. You know, sometimes we live our life forgetting that we already have the ability. It's already inside of us. Did you know it's a slap in the face of God to say the words, I can't? Now, there's a sense in which the Bible talks about without him we could do nothing, but I'm talking about when we understand who we are, we're saved, we are in Christ Jesus is in us. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we are in him. Do you know we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Do you know that Jesus Christ, the Father, and they did not give us the Holy Spirit for us to say, I can't do this. I can't be a dad. I can't tell this about Christ. I can't give victory over this. I mean, I just can't. Here's what God wants to remind you tonight. This is why this verse is about victory. Because you have the exact same strength as any other person that's ever been saved. There is no higher strength and lower strength in the Christian life. If you're saved, you have the same strength, and it's the strength of Christ. You already possess it. You already possess it. Now, here's the point in the message tonight, one of the points. We know that here, but there's such a change that'll happen when it grips our heart in reality that I have a strength that's not my own, and he lives inside of me. Number one, the possession of strength. Number two, I want you to see this, the purpose of strength. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 13, I can do. So Paul is asserting, I can do this. I can do it. I can do this. This is the ability that it's not my own. This is the ability that God has already given me. And every person in this room, in a right sense, can stand before God. Every person in a right sense can say, I can do this. I can tell them. I can live the Christian. I can turn my head. I can think right thoughts. I can control my tongue. I can because Christ Jesus lives inside of me. His strength, not mine. But notice what the Bible says, the purpose of strength. The Bible says in verse number 13, I can do all things. See those two words, say that with me, all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So number one, the possession of strength. But number two, I want you to see the purpose of strength. Now the Bible here says the word all things. So some people say, well, all things means all things. Yes, it does, but all things is in the context of what he's talking about in this passage. We know he doesn't mean absolutely every possible thing ever, because you can't call upon God and say, I call upon God to jump that building right now. It doesn't work like that. You don't call upon God to make, I prayed over things. Lord, I didn't study for my test, but would you please just help me to remember? I don't know that God, I can do all things. I can just remember things that I didn't even read one time in my life. That doesn't happen. When he's talking about all things, he's talking about a purpose. I want to help you with something. Many times, we misunderstand what the strength of God is for. Sometimes we think of the strength of God in the sense of, I was diagnosed with this, and so God, I pray that you would take it away. We just lost the job, things are not going well, and I pray that you change that situation. By the way, God sometimes changed that situation, but sometimes it's the strength of God in the middle of it. You see, here he's talking about there's a purpose behind God's strength. And what is that purpose? Notice what the Bible says. He says, I can do all things. What is the things he's referring to? Notice back in chapter 4 and verse number 1, he's referring to several attributes that he's encouraging them to live and that he's living. And by God's strength, you can have this. So here's the question. Is this your life? Watch what the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, notice what he says, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Can I say this to you, church? You can stand fast. Do you know what the word stand fast means? The word stand fast inherently implies that something's trying to push us over. That something's trying to push us back. That something's trying to get me to crumble. That something's trying to get me to waver. And by the way, did you know this is constantly happening? That anytime anything happens, when any type of trial happens, there's the God of heaven that's trying to bring you forth in gold, and there's the Satan, the ruler of this world, that is trying to get you to fail in your Christian life at the same time. There is pressures all the time to not stand fast, to not do what's right, to crumble in a temptation, to crumble in a trial, to throw in the towel and give up, to be weary and overwhelmed. And here's what God says. You can stand fast. Teenagers in this room, you can stand fast. Did you know the world is getting pretty bad? Did you know that? The Bible says the evil seducers are going to wax worse and worse. Some people often say these words, oh man, America's not what it used to be. And can I tell you this? It's probably never going to be what it used to be. It's going to get worse and worse. It's awfully hard to stand up and live right and speak up in this world today and live the Christian life. But can I help you something? You can. Because Christ lives in you, you can stand fast. My wife and I often comment about this on the road. You never know what's going on behind smiling faces at churches. You see, the sad thing is that I get to see you once a year, once every 2 years, and hey, 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 and our lives are lived, and we come to church, and we have the smile on our face. As I joked the other day, we find good and great. That's kind of our words. But can I tell you something? There's a lot of reasons to fold. There's a lot of things that are going on in your hearts and your lives that are just pushing and pushing and pushing. And no, I'm not talking about that you're outright going to leave the ways of the Lord and you're going to fall out of church completely and I'm done with this whole thing. But don't you know there's a pressure of this world and of Satan, of sin, to just push back just a little bit. And can I help you something? You can stand fast. You can do all things. You can stand fast. Notice what else the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, rejoice. That's an amazing command. Did you know you can rejoice? Did you know you can't fake rejoicing? Oh, you can put it on in front of people, but you cannot fake real joy in your heart. There's some people here that, as I preached about on Sunday school and on Sunday morning, that are awfully discouraged. There's some of us here that it's awfully hard to scrape up a little joy seemingly it's just hard, if we're honest. If I can help you something, you can have joy, Mom. You can have joy, Dad. You can have joy at work. You can have joy at school. That's amazing, isn't it? You kids didn't know that. That's true. You can have joy at school. The kids are like, revival's about to break out. I did not know this. Let me help. I'm going to help some other people. Do you know teachers, you can have joy at school too? That's really helping them. You know what? You can have joy. And joy is not something that is that has to do with personality, has to do with circumstance. It has to do with the strength of God. I love the verse that says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Can you know you can rejoice? Notice what else the Bible says in verse number 6. The Bible says in verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know what the peace of God is? The peace means that when everything else is like a tumultuous sea, the wind and the chaos, your heart is like a placid lake, undisturbed. You know you can have peace? Can I ask you these questions? Are you standing fast? Are you rejoicing? Do you have peace? You can. Notice this extra, this next phrase, verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Two questions for you on this one. What state are you in? Not Iowa, sarcastic. What state are you in right now? What's home like? What's work like? What's the family like? What's going on in your life? What's ministry like? Whatever condition you are in, whatever circumstance you're in, you know what the Bible says? You can be perfectly content. I like to express contentment like this, and you have to kind of listen. I like to express contentment like this. Ready? Everything's okay. Everything's fine. Everything is just good. That comes by the strength of God. You know what Paul was talking about when he says, I can do all things? Let me be more specific in it. Paul was saying, you can live out what God wants for your life. This applies beyond just these four things. I can say these words. Did you know you can witness? If we were honest today, very few of us here witness. Did you know you can? Did you know you can invite people to church? Did you know you can talk about your faith? Do you know you can stand up when someone's doing what's wrong? Do you know you can do those things? You can live the Christian. Do you know you can read your Bible? Do you know you can pray? Do you know you can raise those kids in nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you know you can love that wife and follow that husband? Do you know you can? You know why? Because I can do all things. I can do all things. Hey, listen, Philippians 4:13 is about victory. Let me ask you this question. What areas of your life are you defeated in? I want you to know this. Whatever area that is, God living inside of you, you can win. Number one, I can do all things, the possession of strength. Number two, I can do all things, the purpose of strength. And number three, the paradox of strength. Notice what the Bible says. He says these words, I can do all things, notice this next phrase, through Christ. But then the Bible goes on with a phrase that's added on. It almost seems like you could say the words, I could do all things through Christ, and you could be done. That seems like it's fully encompassing what he's after. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. But there's a second aspect that he's adding, and it's somewhat of a paradox. Here's what he says. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The idea is this, that it's the Christ that lives inside of me, as I do things through him, that's when the strength really comes. Now that seems like a paradox. Because in the very first word there, excuse me, second word, I can, we've already been told that I have the strength. We've already been told, you know, and according to the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But let's just be honest here. There's many Christians, there's people that are unsaved, and we can't speak of them tonight. But the people that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, every single one of them have the Holy Spirit living inside. Every single person in this room has the Holy Spirit living inside them if you're saved. But we cannot argue the fact that there are some people that are living in fullness and abundance and fruit and victory and joy and peace and conquering and winning. And there's some people, though they would never want to admit it openly, are living in defeat. How is it possible that some people having the Holy Spirit could live it out and see fruit. Fruit abounding. Fruit changing people's lives around them. Fruit changing their own life. Fruit and movement and victory and power. How is it we can see it in some people's lives, and for many and most and the average Christian, their life has no influence or power or persuasion or ability, so it seems, at all in their life? How is that possible? Because don't you know it's true? A lot of our Christian life is lived without any influence, power, or persuasion in people's lives around us. A lot of it is just simply we just live life. What is the difference between the two? They have the same Holy Spirit. It's found in the paradox. You see, he did not say, I can do all things and done. He said, I can do all things through Christ. And that act of through Christ, the strength comes. But Chris, the Word of God already told us that the strength is already there. Yes, the strength is already there. But can I say it like this? The first word for the word strength is a strength that's inherent. It literally is a strength that is already possessed, that's already contained, it's already available. The second word for strength is the word that you see here in the English, strengthens. In other words, the second word is a word that means strength enacted. Strength that's actually doing what it was designed to do. I can explain it this way. In the middle of the service, I went back there and I was talking to those back there, and every head turns. It's amazing. Like, where's the guy going? We're getting out early. No, but anyways, I'd say, I need to know how you shut the lights. And I want to show you something. This is a simple illustration, but I want to show you something. Did you know in this building, whether the lights are on or off, there is power? Did you know that? There's power. And if anybody that understands electricity understands that when this building, by the way, that's if you pay your bill, tithe, so you can pay the tithe, tithe. He wanted me to say that four times. Tithe, 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 tithe. Was it four? Seven. Tithe, tithe, tithe. He's lifting up more fingers, more higher. Okay, so anyways, tithing is, that's for taking care of the house of God. Okay, so watch this. In this building right now, there's power. Watch this. Boom, 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 boom. Boom. If you're a guy and girl and you're not married and you're sitting next to each other, don't you dare touch each other. Okay, so anyways, all right, so watch this. That's pretty much all of them there. Did you know, watch this, there's still power in this building? Did you know that? Did you know that the company's been paid, the transformer's been installed, there is capacity here right now already? But the reality is that it takes a flipping of a switch. Let me see if I can see them in the dark. I can't. And those four little, eight little right there switches take that power that's already there and all of a sudden do something with that power. That's the switch. But watch this. Most Christians live like this, or maybe like this, or maybe like this. Oh, that wasn't very powerful. That was outside. Lost the moment there in the illustration. But or like this. But God wants us, can I say it like this? God wants us to live with all the lights blazing in our life. So here's the question. What is that switch? What is that thing that takes it from, yes, I know God lives inside of me. Yes, I realize that His Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And yes, I realize that I have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and how the Apostle Paul lived his life. I have that. Yes, I realize, but wow, I see it. I don't know if there's anything I want more in my life than God's power in my life. God's power in my life to do the things that God has called me to do, and His Word commands me to do those. How do I do it? And I want you to hear it. It's the paradox. He says, I can. And it really is Paul. I can. It really is Paul. Can I say it like this, Brother Jeff? It really is you. 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 But it's not you. But it is you. But it's not you. It's a paradox. He says, I do all things through Christ. You see, the word through is a by means. Meaning you remove the word through, it's not by Him anymore. He didn't say, I can do all things which strengtheneth me. No, He said, I can do all things, and through Christ, it strengthens me. You see, the strength of God is enacted in my life when I do it by Him. What do you mean by Him? If you were to turn your place over, don't do that. I want to quote it to you because I think it'll be more effective in you understanding it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, and I want you to hear it. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It really was Paul. Yet not I. What do you mean? It's Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Paul didn't trust Jesus Christ just to be rescued from hell. Paul just trusted Jesus Christ to live out the Christian life. And it's any time that I look to Jesus Christ for his strength and his power, that strength of God that lives inside of me is enacted immediately to do the will of God. You know, there's a scary verse. There's a scary verse that says, without me, you can do nothing. And Brother Jeff, could you come up here real quickly? I'll show you this and I'll be done. I said 45 minutes and some of you guys are getting like, he's cutting it close. I still got about 7, so calm down. I want to show you something really quickly, okay? Just very quickly, if you would let him represent Jesus, use your imagination, and I'll represent sinful man, and that takes no imagination whatsoever, okay? So, anyways, and this is going to represent life. And what I mean by life, I mean like everything that we do and are and live out in this thing called life. So, mom and dad and husband and wife and teenager and school and work and ministry and everything that, life is here. Living for God, resisting sin, making a difference. This is life, okay? So let me show you something. If you were to hold the other side, you're going to represent Jesus, and I'm going to represent me, obviously. Here's what we think. We think we need Jesus' help, but here's what I'm after. We think that when we don't look to Jesus, when we just kind of live life, here's what we kind of think. If you'd let go of that for me. We kind of think that, you know, life doesn't go as good, but we can still do it. We can still carry it out. But here's what Jesus said. He said, without me, you remove him. So let me watch this again. You remove him, let go. You can do nothing. Life cannot be lived out in any way pleasing to God except that you do it through him. It's not one of those things of like Jesus takes care of 40% and I take care of 60, or Jesus takes care of 80 and I take care of 20. And, you know, okay, I understand he's a big part. He's like 99 and I'm like 1. And if he's not involved, then at least I can still do the 1. No, Jesus said, you have no power to be a dad that's going to raise godly kids except that you do it through me. You have no power to tell a single soul about my son, Jesus Christ, except you do it through me. You have no power whatsoever to resist temptation and to control your tongue and to stop the gossiping or whatever it may be. You cannot do it except that it be through me. And you know what Paul said? There is nothing in this Christian life that I can't do as long as I do it through him. When I do it through him, he gives me strength. Thank you, Brother Jeff. I appreciate it. You did a better job than I thought you'd do. So I appreciate that. Can I say this tonight? Can I ask this tonight? What do you need the strength of God for? What part of your life is depleted? What part of your life is failing? Can I say it in the terms that I used at the beginning of the message? What part of life are you losing the game in? You're behind. You're not winning that area. Can I tell you something tonight? I literally say this with all of my heart, with all, everything I am. I don't care what area that is. Jesus Christ lives inside of you. And if you look to him, he will give you the strength that you can say, I can do those things. So what area of life do you need God's strength for tonight? Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Thanks for listening tonight. Tonight, the invitation will be very succinct in the question. That is, I've already given it to you. What area of life do you need God's strength for? Some of us, it's a lot of areas. Some of us, it's the entire, just area after area, just a replete. Some of us, it may be this one area I really think I'm failing in. This one area I really think I'm suffering in. But can I tell you something? You have God's strength. How do I deal with this? Here's how I deal with it. God, I am sorry that I'm living by my strength and not your strength. By the way, how do I know if I'm not living in God's strength? Because you're failing in that area. If God was giving you strength in that area, you'd be winning. That's how this works. So we start off by saying, God, I'm sorry that I'm not relying upon you. Please forgive me, God. Now, God, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I trust you to strengthen me to do what's right in this area. Who would say tonight, Chris, I can think of an area where I'm failing and I need God's strength in? Who'd say, that's me? Would you raise up your hand? Who'd say, that's me? Praise God. Many, many of you. Many, many of you. Praise God. Here's what we're going to do. In a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to begin to pray. And when I say amen, I'll have her begin to play. As soon as I say amen, she'll begin to play. If God spoke to you tonight, why don't you come and talk to the Lord about it? Let's all stand together. Father in heaven, thank you for being merciful to us tonight. Thank you for the strength of God. Lord, help us to live by that strength, in accordance with that strength. Lord, many hands were raised. Behind that hand is a heart and a life and situations where they need your strength. Oh God, some are suffering, some are hurting, some are giving in. Oh God, please help them to rely upon your strength. Bless as we think about these things, as we meditate, and as we worship you in this invitation time. May hearts be rekindled towards your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. With her heads bowed, her eyes closed, as she begins to play, God spoke to you tonight. Come and talk to the Lord about that thing. What do you need God's strength for tonight? What do you need God's strength for tonight? What do you need it for? Dad, mom, what do you need it for? Teenager, summer coming, how about you? What do you need God's strength for tonight? The strength of God. You know, the strength of God is always in conjunction with the commands of God. God maybe prompted you last night about what needs to be removed, what needs to be changed for your walk and for your time with the Lord. Oh, I just can't get rid of that. I just can't change that. Well, you can. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have Jesus Christ. Now look to Him. Through Christ. Did you know if you're not doing it through Christ, you're automatically doing it through yourself? It has to be an active looking unto Jesus Christ. An active, God, help me. An active, God, I'm looking towards you. Did you know when you and I got saved, when you trusted Jesus Christ, you called out to Him for help? It was one and the same. I trust you, and so, Lord, I pray you'd save me. And the same thing is true in our Christian life. I trust you with these kids. Help me to be patient. I trust you with where you placed me at work. Help me to be kind to the people around me. I trust you with that neighbor. Lord, help me to open my mouth and to witness to him. God, give me your strength and power to live the Christian life. There's a sense in which that's a wrong prayer because he already lives inside of us, but there's a sense in which it's a right prayer. God, I want the switch to be flipped on. Give me your power. Think tonight as you're standing, what area is subpar? What area is not what it should be? What area am I losing in? What area, can I say it like this, do I need to do better in? Whatever area that is, what you need is God's strength. And here's what God's word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, Christian, we can live in victory. If you're defeated, you don't need to be. Ask God to forgive you and live by His strength. Thanks for listening tonight. Pray for the meetings tomorrow night, Tuesday night. Pray that God works in our hearts and pray that our hearts are prepared and ready. Pastor, you come and dismiss as you see fit, sir. Thank you.